Hey guys, welcome to the Whole Lot of Mess podcast. Today we have a special guest, David Martin from RockiesReview.com. We talked about a possible Nolan Arenado for Robinson Cano trade. Is that on the table? Listen to find out, guys. I really appreciate all the support that you guys have been showing me. It means a lot. And please leave a 5-star rating if you can, and subscribe, please, and follow me on Twitter at Lot of Mets. Here we go. Welcome to the Whole Lot of Mets podcast. We have David Martin from RockiesReview.com. David, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. And I want to apologize about the technical difficulties. We've been trying this for a while already, and yeah. I'm not sure, so I apologize.
No problem. No problem at all.
All right. So up until now, the Mets have had the cheapest owners in baseball in a big market. And Mets fans were pissed. Like, the best day in Mets history was when Uncle Stevie Cohen bought the team. And now the Rockies sound like they're going through, I guess, the same thing, but without being in a big market.
Yeah, and it's a little bit crazy because, you know, it's not like the Rockies made a sudden shift to decide to do that. They less than 2 years ago, they signed Nolan Arenado to an 8-year, $260 million deal. You know, and part of that promise that was very widely reported was that Nolan Arenado was willing to take the deal as long as the team was willing to commit that his contract wasn't going to hamstring the team and they were still going to be able to spend more money. So it's funny that less than 2 years later, the team is making an about face and shifting that. And let me tell you, it's not just from the COVID situation with teams losing revenue, because the team was looking to potentially deal Arenado last offseason, obviously. So this is something that it's not like they decided, hey, we're going to go in a different direction and tear it down and rebuild and go cheap for a few years to save money to do that. It doesn't seem like they quite understand what they're doing, which almost makes it worse than if it was the approach to get cheap for a little while and build up the farm system and go from there. But it's confusing to Rockies fans. I don't think anybody really knows what the course of action for the Rockies is, frankly, including their own front office, which is that's the worst case scenario if you're a Rockies fan.
I think that right now is the worst possible situation for the Colorado Rockies, because number one, nobody has cash. That's number one. I mean, besides for the Mets and maybe the Dodgers, nobody else really has the cash that they need to get for Arenado. More I think about is that Trevor, your shortstop, as good as he is, right? Look at who's on the market right now. You got Lindor.
Yeah.
You've got Javier Baez now. He could maybe be the third best available. So you're not even going to get the second best package for him, because a team is going to go ahead and say, oh, I could get Baez and Lindor for maybe cheaper.
Well, and you look at that and you're exactly right. What's a team going to give up for the consolation prize of the consolation prize? And I could make arguments in my own mind as to why Story is right up there with those other two guys you just mentioned. But the reality of it is he has the Coors Field factor going against him. His splits are significant. You'll see that. Don't get me wrong, Coors Field helps every single hitter. But I think it's a little bit of an unfair picture that it paints of these hitters, because I do think there's some other factors that go into it with some recent studies that have come out and stuff like that. But to your point, you know, Story's going to be a $200 million guy here in a year. So the Rockies, if they can't afford to sign David Dahl for $3 million, which is what he was anticipated to receive in arbitration, and they just non-tender him, what does that say about a guy like Story, who, granted, David Dahl is not the player Trevor Story is, but they're not going to be willing to shell out another $200 million contract that they just gave to Nolan Arenado and then immediately got cold feet with it. So it's a little bit of a weird situation in Colorado, and I don't think anybody knows what's going on.
David Dahl is in center field, correct?
You know, he plays all over.
Because he's a possible Mets target now. So if he has a good glove, maybe in center field, he could be a good backup to maybe a George Springer, let's say.
So the thing about Dahl is he truly could be a five-tool player. I mean, he has elite speed. He has a great arm. He can hit for power. He knows the game. The only knock against David Dahl is he just could never stay healthy. And I think that might have factored into why the Rockies didn't want to take a chance on him, because they didn't want to spend money on a guy on the injured list all the time. That said, you know,
it's only $4 million. I mean, like, who are you going to go out and get somebody better for that type of money right now? I mean, because who's even out there?
It's to be honest with you, when you see that and you say Major League Baseball trade rumors projected him at $2.8 million, you know, that's your average middle reliever. That's not even an elite closer. That's not a closer. That's not a back end guy. That's just a standard middle reliever. You know, a lot of teams would be willing to spend that kind of money for a fourth or fifth outfielder, in my mind. So yeah, it just is. It's head scratching. It's head scratching that they wouldn't even sign him and offer him that deal and then trade him, just to strictly non-tender him, is confusing, to say the least. But he's a guy, I think, you know, we talked Coors Field factors already. He's a guy who can play anywhere. You know, he's not a guy who, again, everyone's going to benefit from hitting at Coors Field. It's the biggest outfield in baseball. The ball obviously carries further. But he's a guy whose tools are good enough to play anywhere. He strikes out a little bit too much. But if you've watched baseball, for Major League Baseball, for the past 5 years, everybody strikes out too much. So, you know, that's not a knock against guys anymore, because guys who can hit for power are trying to hit for power more often. They're not trying to put it, they're not trying to hit singles. That said, David Dahl's a guy who isn't afraid to go to the opposite field. You know, he's a guy who can drive the ball into the left center field gap and have his fair share of doubles and triples. So, you know, he's a guy, Rockies fans see this guy that's a former first round draft pick from the team and has done nothing wrong except get injured. And you say, when you're a market size 17 like the Rockies are, those are guys you got to keep taking chances on, especially when they're still cheap. So it's a little bit of a baffling situation. But if I'm in the Mets boat right now and I want to spend big money, that's a guy you could fill in the gap with really, really, really easily, because he's not going to hold you back from going out and getting a guy who's going to be a $100 million plus price tag kind of guy. So you know, it's just, if I'm the Mets, he might be target number one or number two, just to fill in that lineup, to go so that you can save money. You don't have to.
How's the defense though? Because that's the number one priority, I guess, right now for the Mets. So if he doesn't have a good glove, like, the Mets already have good enough bats that where if he's just another bat, I don't know how much he's really going to play, because defense is the main focus right now.
So he's a guy who, you know, he will definitely hit for, or I'm sorry, defensively, he's going to be as good as anybody. He has elite speed. He has a great arm. There's, you know, watching him cover ground at Coors Field, he could do that super easy. He never had a problem with that at all. So, you know, he's a guy, you might not say he's Mike Trout in the outfield, but who is? That said, he's a guy who you're never going to look at him and say, okay, we got to stash him away in left field because his arm isn't quite good enough and his speed isn't there. He's a guy who covered all the ground at Coors Field in the world. He's not afraid to lay out for balls. He's not afraid to gun somebody out at third base. And you're never sitting there thinking that the base runners are taking the extra base on him. It's just, he might not be the elite defender like Mike Trout is, but he's a guy you're not going to sit there and ever say you have any deficiency because of him.
You are raving about this man. And he doesn't sound like a $2.8 million player. He sounds like a guy, I mean, based off of what I'm hearing from you, he sounds like a guy who could demand $8 million. And the Rockies couldn't give him 2.8, or am I getting the wrong misconception of David Dahl?
Well, that's what they projected him to be in arbitration. But I think in a couple of years, when he's hits the free agent market, he's going to be a guy. He's not going to get $20 million a year, but he's a guy who I think will be in the $8 to $12 million range, depending on what happens with baseball finances. And yeah, so it's baffling a little bit because he's a, you know, from a Rockies fans perspective, he's a steal at that rate. And even if he is injured, you know, even if he goes on the injured list a couple times throughout the year and misses 25 or 30 games, that's still a good guy to have when he is healthy. He's going to, you know, obviously a couple years ago, he's an all-star. So, you know, and he wasn't an all-star that's voted by the fans. He's an all-star that's picked by the coaches. So that shows you where the respect level is for him around the league as well.
Wow. Wow. So do you think the Rockies are going to deal Nolan or Trevor first, at least in your mind? And which guy do you think is going to bring in the best package?
Yeah, that is that's a $1 million, maybe $260 million question. I don't know that the Rockies are planning on trading either of them, to be honest with you. I think they would like to get themselves out from underneath Nolan Arenado's contract because I think they realize he doesn't want to be here anymore. But I think in their minds, they think they can still potentially keep Trevor Story. The problem is, like we talked about, he's going to be a $200 million shortstop in a year. So the Rockies aren't going to tie up $400+ million in two guys. But I think they're a little bit delusional as to how it's going to happen. And I think in their minds, they think they can hold out till the trade deadline this year and get more of a package potentially for one or both. But if they're smart, they start making the phones ring for other GMs talking about both of them right now. Because like you said, there's going to be a glut of shortstops. Story's not going to be the most coveted guy out there. Nolan Arenado has his issues because he's got the opt-out at the end of this year. So teams are
– and they lose value after every day that passes, and especially on Trevor Story, because he's going to be a team's rental. I'm like, let's be real here. I mean, every day that he's on the Rockies is just another day that he's not going to be on another team. So it's going to diminish his value, and he should be out first, at least in my head. He should be out first.
Well, and when you talk about that too, if you want to wait till the trade deadline, now you're looking at 12 to 15 teams that might even be interested in him. How many times does a team like you know, have big off-season splashes where they think they're going to be a competitor and then they aren't a competitor? So if you wait till the deadline, you're wasting
the Mets every single year the past 5 years.
Exactly. It happens all the time, and it's one of those things that you sit there and say you want every available team to be bidding for him. And like you said, I want 162 games of him, not 60. So your return is just not going to be what it needs to be. But I don't know what the Rockies are thinking. I don't think they know what they're thinking. I think they think there's a chance. I'm not joking you when I say this. Dick Monfort, the Rockies owner, is the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life, but he has no clue about baseball. When he says last season, before all the COVID stuff hit, he actually said he thought the Rockies would win 94 games. Now, he's not saying that to get tickets sold or to get fans riled up. He's saying that because he legitimately believes it. And so when you look up and down that roster and you say, hey, if everything goes perfectly, this team is an 85, 86, maybe 87 win team. And that's if everything went perfectly, including guys like Brendan Rodgers, the Rockies' top prospect, making a huge splash and hitting 320, 25 home runs kind of thing. The idea of winning 94 games for a franchise that's never won more than 92 with the roster that they were going into the last season with would have just been – there's nobody in their right mind would pick that. But I say all that to say Dick Monfort, the Rockies owner, is just a guy who, in his mind, I think he truly believes the Rockies are playoff contenders going into this next season. And that sort of delusion makes it where teams can't make sound decisions when it comes to personnel – because in his mind, he's not going to trade Trevor Story or Nolan Arenado now because he thinks they're legitimate contenders. So what does that do? It makes them have to wait until the trade deadline when they realize they're on pace to lose 90-plus games again, and all of a sudden they're in the boat where they just have three or four teams interested in each one of them, because even with contenders, how many are going to need a shortstop or how many are going to need a third baseman? You've just limited your field of who can give you anything for him, and it limits your prospects you're going to get back.
True. And I do think, though, right, as disillusional as he is, right, he cares about one more thing, and that's his money. So I don't care how much he thinks that the Rockies are going to be a 94-win team. If it's affecting his bottom line, these guys are out of here, especially during a COVID season. So it's like, I don't think that that's going to hold them back, because money talks.
Yes, no doubt about that. And that is very true. When push comes to shove, these are business owners. They're business people. They have a bottom line that they need to take care of. And I do think COVID hit the Rockies harder than anybody, because as crazy as it sounds, if you've ever been to a game at Coors Field, it is a gorgeous place to watch a baseball game. And there's mountain views. There's views of the city. It's a great area of town. So, you know, the Rockies average 30,000 people a night. So while the ticket prices aren't what they are in New York and other places like that, the revenue lost for the Rockies is sizable. You know, I think they took as big of a hit as anybody, because we're not a team that gets 10,000 fans a night. It is literally a Tuesday night in the middle of June has 30,000 people there. So it's, you know, it's a tough proposition for the
big gap
for the Rockies to your point. Eventually they're going to look at their bottom line and say, we can't afford both of these guys, let alone one. Let's make it happen. But I really think in the Rockies' minds, they think, well, if we contend and if fans are able to go to games in 2021, all of a sudden that revenue is going to be back, where I just don't see it being a realistic proposition.
You think that you have bad owners. I don't know if you know who Craig Carton is. He's a radio personality.
He's actually from Denver, yes.
Oh, actually, so he claims that Jeff Wilpon came over to him when he was drunk at a Mets game and personally asked him, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do?
Wow. Well,
that's exactly what Craig said, that Jeff Wilpon said that. So, like, as illusional as your guy is, we have an owner going up to a drunk guy who doesn't know anything. Number one, like, he should not be on sports. That's number one. And number two, you're asking him what to do after you said, I don't know what I'm
right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's amazing, the correlation between the Rockies and Mets, to be honest, because, and I said this last
former correlation.
Yes. It's like I said last night when we were chatting that, you know, Rockies fans at least could look to New York and say, hey, at least the Rockies aren't owned by Wilpon, you know, but now that he's out of the picture, the Rockies are kind of taking that mantle as like the team that is completely clueless, who won't look outside their own organization for help. You know, it just is disheartening. It's disappointing, but you know, for your sake, I'm happy that your Mets have kind of figured that out and are going to go in a different direction.
Man, it's exciting. So what do you think is a trade that you would make if you're the Rockies to get Nolan Arenado over to the New York Mets?
You know, again, good question. And we chatted about this a little bit last night, but I honestly think Nolan Arenado, and we talked Coors Field factors, he's a ball player. It doesn't matter where he could play on the moon and he's going to be a great baseball player. I mean, you don't sign a third baseman to be a defensive guy, but you guys have seen his plays on MLB Tonight on SportsCenter for years now. You've seen the beauty of what he does at third base. I mean, it truly is an art. It's amazing.
He has a gold glove every single year.
It just is unbelievable. I mean, and yeah, watching him night in and night out, it is legitimately, you just get used to him making plays that no other third baseman can make, and he just makes them. I harp on that because he's a gym rat. He's a guy who loves the game of baseball. He's as much of a competitor as I've ever seen in my life. There's no way he's going to walk out of Coors Field and not figure out how to hit. I say figure out as if he can't. You look at his numbers, he has almost the same number of home runs on the road in his career as he does at home. There are some factors that go into the Coors Field factor where I believe guys hit worse on the road because of Coors Field, because of the adjustment when they leave the ballpark is harder than anywhere else. There's actually been some studies that show when the visiting team plays a 3 or 4 game series at Coors Field, their batting averages suffer over the next 3 or 4 days when they go on the road again. So there are some.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I did not know that.
So it's amazing how much goes into it. And if you really do think about it, a slider is going to slide more. A curveball is going to curve more once you get back on the road. And if you've been playing 9 or 10 straight games at Coors Field and then have to go back into an environment where a ball is legitimately breaking 3 to 4 inches further than it was, it's going to take 3 or 4 days to adjust to it. And when you really think about that and you look at that factor, it makes sense. It makes sense why the Rockies have, over the course of 28 years, it's not like every single player they've ever had can only hit at Coors Field. So, there has to be something that goes into that. And when you look at guys like DJ LeMahieu, who won a batting title at Coors Field, and everybody said,
Matt Holliday,
he won it because of Coors Field. That was the narrative when DJ LeMahieu took home that batting title. And then he goes to New York, and I know that park is a hitter's park too, but the guy showed he's legitimate no matter where he plays. So there, Nolan Arenado, that's a long answer to a short question for you, but Nolan Arenado, if you're going to trade him, I think you still demand one of the top three prospects plus two major league players. I'm not saying they need to be your star major league players, but probably a bullpen arm, as well as an outfielder or, somebody who is at the major league level, or maybe even a triple A infielder who you have high hopes for, but maybe he's between the range of 10 to 15 as far as organizational prospects go. Somebody who you're not going to die if you part with, but still there's some high hopes that they could be a good piece at the big league level. So it's quite the haul to ask for, but the reality of it is that's who Nolan Arenado is.
All right. So like I said last night to you, right? Before all the technical shit happens, the Mets top three guys are untouchable. Especially since the Mets are on the verge, I guess, of signing James McCann.
I saw that.
So it perfectly fits the timeline for their top guy, Francisco Alvarez, who is, I think, 18. So by the time that contract is up, he's going to take the reins there. But I have a package with Nimmo, Rosario, and Familia. How would you see that package, and what would the Rockies fans think? Because I want to know that too.
So I don't personally think that's enough. I don't think you have star power involved. I will say I like Nimmo in that package if you want to get Rockies fans to be on board. And I say that because he's from Wyoming. He's a kid who grew up playing baseball in Denver a lot. So he's used to altitude baseball. He's a guy. And while we chatted a little bit last night too, Rockies fans love local guys. Kyle Freeland went to high school in Denver, and fans just love him. And he's never going to be an ace. He's never going to be a number one. But fans love him because he's from here. They love his personality. Fans in Denver have a strong affinity for people who are from here. So that would be a good piece to maybe make fans a little less angry about it. But I do think it would take more than Nimmo as kind of obviously Familia would be the most familiar name in that group. But I think it would take more, again.
Rosario
would be a good piece in there too, and a shortstop at that, especially if you're losing Story along the way somewhere. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, that wouldn't be – you're talking four players for one. I think
– three.
Sorry, I thought you said the other prospect. I apologize. Yeah, so I do think it would take a little bit more than that. If I'm being honest with you, Nimmo's a good player, but I don't think anybody's ever thinking that – he's going to be an all-star consistently.
I mean, his main thing is how he gets on base every single game. So Familia, yes, he is, I guess, a salary dump in a way. And I still believe in Ahmed, but I think he just needs a big change of scenery. at least in my opinion. So what do you think the Mets would have to add? Are you saying like a JD Davis or maybe a
prospect? I'm saying I legitimately, and I know your top three guys are untouchable, but I think that's what the Rockies are going to demand. They're going to say, we want somebody who is in that range. And I think whether it's a starting pitcher or, you know, a guy who is going to make a big time, a guy who projects to be an all-star at the big league level, is what the Rockies are going to demand. Whether they will get that or not remains to be seen. But I think that's kind of the idea behind what the Rockies are going to want. But again, it depends how desperate they are to get rid of that contract. And the other mitigating factor for the whole thing is how much are the Mets going to take on of the salary? Now, the more they take on, probably the less prospect and player heavy the return would have to be, because the Rockies being money conscious might say, hey, if you're willing to take on every single dime, we'll be all right with taking a package that might not be guys who are going to make anywhere close to a Nolan Arenado impact level.
Yeah, but in my head, right, Sandy Alderson said on the radio, I think, 2 days ago, about how there's two currencies in baseball, prospects and cash. And he said, we don't have a good enough farm system, so sure, we have to spend cash. So the fact that he said that, and then a couple of weeks later, he's going to go ahead and trade one of their top guys and take back a huge contract along giving up a one-time top two prospect in all of baseball and a good young outfielder who has team control for the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, that's a lot to ask.
It is a ton to ask. And again, it goes back to Nolan Arenado's opt-out, that any team that gets him, whether it's the Mets or the Cardinals or anybody else that's been rumored about, they have to be looking at it, and as they leverage a trade, are saying, hey, we're viewing this guy as a rental. He can opt out of this deal in 1 year. Arenado's a West Coast guy. He grew up in Southern California. He has made it very clear he loves Southern California. So, you know, the timing is perfect as Justin Turner is a free agent, where he could go back to his boyhood team and play for the Dodgers and take over that mantle, play in front of his friends and family. So I say all that to say, if you're the Mets, your argument back to the Rockies is, we're not giving you anything we're not giving you a significant value for a guy who's going to be here for 1 year and leave, unless you can assure us that he'll opt into the remaining 5 years of that deal. But the likelihood of that isn't so high, unless Nolan Arenado can see that the Mets truly are committed to spending and are going to put good players around him. You know, that's the way I kind of look at it, is the Rockies just don't have leverage in it. And if the Mets are going to take on all or most of his contract, I think the package back isn't going to be what I think the value should be, which is one of those top three prospects. But to your point, the Mets don't have to do that if they're willing to spend and take on that contract. They can give guys who maybe are change of scenery guys like Rosario.
Yeah, I came up with maybe a little bit of a crazy contract trade, because you told me about how the Rockies also want players from the past, because they could market their guys like that, right? So, all right. We send you guys Robinson Cano. It's only a 2-year deal left because he got banned this year, dumbass. Rosario, Nimmo, and the 2019 first round pick, third baseman, who it's major pop, Brett Beatty. So we're gonna send you a former first round pick of only a year ago, in exchange basically for taking Cano with no money in between. You know, it's
immediate savings this year because you're not paying Cano, but you still get the star power potentially back in a year. No, I don't think that's a bad deal. I think you could sell the fans on the fact that this is a former first round draft pick that you can plug in at third base, where you're losing Nolan. and go from there. It could work. And though it all comes down to what the Rockies value and what they think. And as crazy as it sounds, their owner actually believing that they're contenders to win the National League West next year, which is as laughable as it gets. But Dick Monfort truly every single year believes that this is the year the Rockies are going to win the World Series. It is delusional, and it's almost as if the back in the days when you're a 12-year-old fan and didn't really know what's going on with other teams, you just thought this is your team's year every year. So it just isn't centered in reality, and I don't know what else to say about that, but that is a true factor in whether or not the Rockies trade Nolan and what they get back for Arenado.
You guys do have a good team, though. I mean, on paper at least, right? But the thing that jumps out to me is no pitching constantly. Just constantly no pitching.
It's uncanny how bad it is. I mean, I have some Mets fans who are friends of mine who have literally said they would take any other baseball team's bullpen over the Mets this past season, which to that point I said, then you don't watch the Rockies. As bad as the Mets bullpen was this past season, the Rockies, and we all know the storied history of pitching at Coors Field, the Rockies bullpen was worse this year than it has ever been in their history. That's monumentally bad. So, you know, it's that you can have as much as you want talent-wise, but if you have no bullpen and Coors Field where you just can't pitch as long as – you can't expect a starter to be going seven innings consistently night in and night out. It just doesn't matter how much talent you have around the diamond. If your bullpen can't get it done, you're just out of luck. The Rockies do have some talent. Their farm system is completely broken, but pitchers like Ryan Castellani came up early this season and did pretty well for himself. His numbers wouldn't show that he did super well, but he was the kind of guy, if you really dug into the game, he'd go five innings and give up one run, and then in the sixth get blown up a little bit. So, you know, that's consistent with young pitchers. Germán Márquez, I think, is a legitimate ace. I mean, he might not be a guy you talk about.
Really?
Yes. Again, very inconsistent. But I think he's still figuring it out. He's still young. I believe he's still 23 years old. So, yeah, think he's – he might be 24, but he is a young – Germán Márquez is very young.
I thought that he was 28.
Uh-uh. And the Rockies were wise.
He looks that's why.
The Rockies were wise to ink him to a six-year deal last year. So he's going to be a Rocky for a long time at a very team-friendly deal. I apologize. He's 25 years old. I just looked it up. But, 25, he's still coming into his own. He's a guy who can strike guys out on command. He's got a fastball that rides in on a righty's hands like I've never seen before, which is saying something because the 2010 season when Ubaldo Jimenez was dominating, I didn't think I'd ever seen anybody who could make somebody less comfortable at the plate than him. So Márquez and Kyle Freeland is a good solid number three. Antonio Senzatella really turned a corner this past year. But again, and I say this with all due respect to Germán Márquez, is nobody is talking about the Rockies starting rotation as something that is even feared or like, you know, something that is going to make anybody worried.
Yeah, but what about John Gray? Because I was about to ask you, what do you think it's going to take to get John Gray on the Mets?
So John Gray is a guy who I think will benefit severely from a change of scenery. He's as a fan, he is maddening to watch because he has all the talent in the world. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's throwing 103 miles an hour at the University of Oklahoma and just has not been able to figure it out at the big league level. He'll have flashes of brilliance. And then he'll have games where you just think he has no business being on a major league mound. But that said, the Rockies' track record of developing pitchers is horrible. So I think you get somebody else who can give, you know, can tweak him just a tiny bit, and all of a sudden he's going to be a guy who is a top of the rotation type of guy. You know, I mean, John Gray should not be below a number two in any rotation, in my mind, talent wise. But again, he's thrown 103 miles an hour at University of Oklahoma. His fastball this year was 94 miles an hour. So, you know, whether there was speculation of injury, but he insists he wasn't injured. It just is interesting to see. He's one of those guys as a fan that's just maddening, because you think he should be the team's ace and just could never figure it out.
So would a Familia for John Gray trade make sense?
I think you'd have to include somebody else with it from the Mets, just because Familia honestly carries his own baggage with him. I believe that
I'm not saying
somebody who your hopes and dreams are relying on. I'm saying a guy who is maybe I'll go back to somebody who's between your 10th and 15th best prospect in the system, that you go, hey, this guy will be a big leaguer, but we're not sure he's going to be a significant contributor at some point. You know, one of those types of guys.
That's not too bad at all, because the Mets also see it as a salary dump. So not only do they get rid of Familia, thank God, they also get rid of his contract and go out and sign maybe a Liam Hendricks to go and take his place. So to add a top 20 to 15 prospect makes all the sense, and it's crazy. Like, if you say it like that, it really
it sounds like a great trade. Again, I would tell you this too, is he's a guy who wants to be a pitcher at Coors Field. You know, when the Rockies draft you as a pitcher, you're probably – that's the last team you want to get drafted by if you're coming up. So there's the mental factor of being a starting pitcher at Coors Field and having half your starts, knowing you're going to give up an extra run or two every single time you're out there. And, you know, we all hope our the players on our team are – die hard about winning a World Series, but when push comes to shove, they're there as their job too, and they're counting their millions of dollars, and they know the difference between having a 4-something ERA and a 5-something ERA means millions of dollars. So there's the mental factor of pitching at Coors Field, knowing your numbers just aren't going to look as good as they would if you pitched in San Diego or if you pitched in, you know, a Citi Field.
Yeah. David, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, we actually got it done. It took 7 tries, but hey, and it was worth it, man. I really do appreciate it, man. It means a lot. If you have anything to
nothing to promote right now. I do my own blog, but right now I'm kind of in between. I've worked for several different publications, so I'm kind of, to be honest, a free agent right now. Got some things in the works, but, you know, all things Rockies. So right now it's mostly Twitter, just at Rockies Review. But I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. And thank you guys for